Good evening. Thank you, Jeremy. I invite you to take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, where we're going to start by reading chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. The subject or title of my sermon tonight is Life Circular or Linear? Now, you've never heard a sermon with that title before. I can almost guarantee it. And so this is something new under the sun. Is life circular or linear? And I got to thinking about this question as a consequence of reading this passage and thinking about it. And the way that we look at life, and it matters the way that we look at life because it affects the decisions that we make. The writer of Ecclesiastes begins in a fairly pessimistic mood. Having looked at life and looked at what happens in life, and especially and particularly under the sun, the writer of Ecclesiastes begins with the observation that nothing seems to matter, because everything just keeps going in circles. And that would lead a person to a rather pessimistic conclusion. And that would be that nothing I do matters, that my choices don't matter. And that would be the wrong conclusion. And eventually, as the Ecclesiastes writer works through these questions and observations, he comes to a different conclusion. But he starts out in chapter 1 in a fairly pessimistic tone. Let's read what he says here in Ecclesiastes. Note the unhappy face and the smiley face. The smiley face comes with the PowerPoint. I had to work really hard to make the unhappy face. Apparently, that's not real popular. But a circular life, if you think life just goes in circles, ultimately, you're not going to be very happy. But if you think life is going somewhere, you're going to have some hope. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, will you? Read it with me, starting verse 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, meaningless. Or is often translated, vanity of vanities, or emptiness. But this particular translation says, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Verse 3, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Verse 5, the sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rose. The wind blows to the south, turns to the north, round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. Verse 7, all streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear of hearing. Verse 9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. Son. 10, is there anything to which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already. Long ago, it was here before our time. Verse 11, no one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. Verse 12, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven, it is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Verse 14, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. As I say, fairly pessimistic. And yet some fair observations. Not wholly lacking in truth. Because from our perception and from what we can see in this world under the sun, what he says is absolutely true, absolutely right. The same things just keep happening over and over and over again. History repeats itself. People keep making the same mistakes. The world just keeps turning around. The earth keeps going around the sun. The news cycles rinse and repeat. People get all worked up. They get excited about the latest news, the latest calamity, the latest tweet from the president. There'll just be another one tomorrow. So why get worked up? It appears to all be kind of pointless. Did you ever get on a trail or a track, or you know, and you came around, and you found out that you're just a big circle? You came right back to where you started. You'd made no progress whatsoever. Like someone lost in the woods, just going in circles. Is that true, though, of life? Is that it? Is life just people doing the same old things over and over again? It never goes anywhere. Nothing ever comes from it. Is that true? Well, if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in something beyond the sun and above the heaven, then that is the ultimate truth of life. A circular worldview is ultimately a worldview of despair. What you see is what you get. It will always be this way. Nothing will ever change. Life does not lead to anything. It is all rather pointless. But that is not the worldview that we have adopted. Because there have been some new and exciting things that have happened. There have been some intrusions into the mundane, circuitous affairs of the world. Intrusions from above the sun, from a God in heaven, who has introduced new and revolutionary things. Things that were never heard or seen before from the foundation of the world. A teaching, a way of life, a way of looking at things, revealed to us by God through His Son Jesus. And they are marvelous. And they are unique. And they crush this secular, worldly view of despair. And they put it to flight. Even in his musings, the writer of Ecclesiastes recognizes that there are reasons to find hope, that God does bring some meaning to life, although he struggles to find it. But what we know that the Ecclesiastes writer did not know is the beautiful story of Jesus Christ. And so as an alternative to this circular worldview of despair, we have another passage that I'd like to read to you. And there would be many that I could choose from in the New Testament. I chose this one in particular in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, where Peter, writing to fellow Christians, many of them struggling and suffering, and he himself likely to die soon. And yet his message is not one of despair, but one of imminent hope And he writes in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "This is now the second letter I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Remember this," he says, "knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires, and they will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.'" Now there's that circular worldview. There's that closed system worldview where nothing ever changes, nothing ever happens that's different. Doesn't matter what you do. Your choices are irrelevant. It's all pretty much pointless. Peter says scoffers will come, and they'll say such things. But they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world was, at that time that existed, was deluged with water and perished. And by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. That God has interposed His will in the past, in creating the universe, first of all, in judging the world in times such as at the flood, when the seasons did not continue just as they always did, but God imposed a change of order upon the world. And these events that we read about in the Old Testament, where God intervenes in history, are indications that the circular worldview, that the meaningless worldview of life is not correct. That there is a God in heaven, and that He does give meaning to life. And that He has, again, a plan for judging the world, for judging us. And that summing up of things, that end of things, it's coming. He says in verse 8, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." It may, in our view of things, seem to take a long time, but not with God. God has a point fixed, and everything is heading toward it, and we are reaching that point in the future, and when that day comes, everything is going to change. And it'll be here before you know it. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." You see, your choices do matter. They're not pointless. They're not meaningless. The way that you live your life, whether you honor God or not, whether you're faithful to God or not, they will add up to something in the end. And it's important. It's essential that we understand the linear nature of life, that it is leading to something, that it's going somewhere. And God is waiting in the interim. And God is patient in the interim. And He wants to see us make certain choices. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Things won't continue on and on. Rivers won't continue to flow down into the sea. The winds won't continue to blow from north to south and south to north. And the same things that people have always done, they won't continue to do again. And the world will come to an end, and judgment of God will be imposed. And the writer says in verse 11, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness?" Our understanding of the nature of life that it is linear, that it is heading toward a conclusion, toward a moment of decision, should cause us to reflect about our own choices, our own behavior, the way we live our life, that goodness will be rewarded, that evil will be punished, and that this world will come to an end. That's the way we need to think, to live our lives, because that's the reality, that's the truth. But you have to decide between those two worldviews. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. We should look to the future with anticipation, with hope. Not for this same old circuitous world under the heavens, under the sun, that just keeps on going and going and going, because that's not where our hope lies. This world will end. This life will end. But our life will go on. And that's what we need to focus upon and look to. It changes our worldview. It changes our attitude. It changes our approach. We live a life of hope. We live a life of purpose, of meaning. That's the worldview that the Lord invites us to adopt in our own mind, our own thinking, and our own behavior. In verse 13, but according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And it won't be the same old. And it won't be a world of despair. A world where nothing ever seems to get better. A world where the same calamities and the same tragedies just keep on unfolding. It will be a new world, a better world. That's what we live for. That's what we believe in. What you see is temporary, and it will not always be this way. Things will change. Life leads to something. And it is all for a reason. I know it's easy to succumb to despair sometimes because the change that you want in your own life doesn't seem to come quickly. Things seem to let you down. We fall into patterns, find them hard to break out of. But the answer is not despair. The answer is not to give in, but to look to the future with hope, because there's a God in heaven who's waiting for us. There is a Son of God who came down into this world and showed us that things can be different. He lived a life that was different, a life full of hope and honesty and love and healing and trust. And He showed us that such things are possible, that people can change, and they do change. And that all of the sadness of this life is ultimately going to be blown away and replaced with something so much better and so much more wonderful. That's what I believe in. That's the promise of the Bible, the promise of the gospel, the promise of the Word of God. And that's ultimately the conclusion that even the writer of Ecclesiastes comes to. Because at the very end, he says, when everything has been considered, this is what the conclusion is. Obey God. Keep His commandments. Because this is the whole of man. Because God will bring every act to judgment, whether it be good or evil. Good matters. Evil will be punished. There is a conclusion. It is coming. Trust in it. Put your faith in it. Put your faith in a God above the sun who will make that happen. That's my message tonight. said this morning that I preached a little long, so I thought I'd take it easy on you. Let's sing a word, sing a song here to encourage each other, because life is encouraging when it's lived in the service of our God. If you want to obey the gospel tonight, act with a linear worldview. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.